My name is Andy, and this is the most magical podcast on earth. When I'm not on holiday at Walt Disney World, I'm planning a holiday to Disney. And when I'm not planning a holiday to Disney, I'm talking about Disney with other UK fans like me who make the trip to Orlando and the House of the Mouse. So whether you're a parks professional or a Florida first timer, this is the podcast for you. Each episode, I'll be chatting to other Disney superfans to share memories of their magical times, answering your Walt Disney World questions, getting you all the latest news from the parks, and finding out what's happening right now in Orlando. So get your ears on as we take you to the most magical place on earth. This is the most magical podcast on earth, part of the Secret Recordings Network. We have brand new episodes every other week, so make sure you've subscribed to the podcast because our next episode is going to be one of the six castles reports because I'm on my way to Hong Kong and then Shanghai. Already done Paris, already done California this year, so part of the Six Castles tour this year. Hong Kong trip report coming soon. But we're talking Paris on this episode of the podcast and, of course, Walt Disney World. So make sure you follow us on the socials at PodMagical. You can get in touch there as well if you'd like to be a podcast guest to talk about your Walt Disney World travels or maybe Paris or California or maybe you've done some of the Eastern parks. Let me know. We'll get you on. We're going to chat to this episode's guest very soon, but let's grab one of your questions first that's come through on the socials. Any Walt Disney World planning questions you have, I will do my best to answer. Leanne wants to know, what is the best credit or debit card to take to Florida with you where I won't be overcharged for things? Oh yeah, see what you mean. You got to be careful when you're using your credit card because some of them will have expensive charges if you use them in America. Speaking personally, I always use my Chase card, which is a debit card. You can also withdraw cash from that as well without any charges. The exchange rate's usually pretty good. And also, up to April, you used to be able to get £15 cash back. So if you used your credit card, your Chase debit card, sorry, anywhere in America, not only did you get a good exchange rate and you weren't charged any currency conversions, used to get cash back. They are stopping that as from, I think it's the first week in April. But still, you can use your Chase debit card in America without any charges. Also, Halifax Clarity Card. If you're looking for a credit card, it's the Clarity Card you need for Halifax. That's good to use abroad. I've used that as well. Other people I know, friends, family, have used Revolut and Monzo. So there's quite a few options. Just make sure you check. Always check with your bank as well. And also let them know if you're going to America, because the worst thing is you try and use it and it gets blocked. So some options there if you're taking your debit or credit card to Walt Disney World with you. Right now, we're going from Walt Disney World to Paris. We have Chris on this episode of the podcast. Now, for me, it's six castles in one year. Obviously, we talk about Walt Disney World a lot. It's a Walt Disney World podcast. Now, Chris has not been to Walt Disney World, but has been to Disneyland Paris many times and has another castle on his list later on this year. Welcome to the podcast, Chris.
Thank you very much for having me, Andy. It's a pleasure to be here. And yeah, it's nice to hear you ticking off the castles. I am totally envious. And if you have room in your suitcase for probably all of your listeners, we'd be eternally grateful to come along with you.
The two that I started the year with, one you've done many times and another one you're going later on this year, which we'll talk about in a moment. But first of all, this is a podcast for people who love Disney parks, particularly Disney World. But tell me why you love Disney parks. What is it about those parks that draws you back time and time again?
You know, us in the Disney community, we always get people going, like, you're going there again. We don't say that whenever people are going to Benidorm for the fourth or fifth time. Once you find a place that you love going to, you want to go back again. As soon as you come home, you've planned your next trip, although, albeit for you, you know, planning all these ones, you have like loads to look forward to, which I'm totally envious of. But yeah, it's just the Disney bubble. As soon as you go in, you bring your suitcases in with you, but you leave all your struggles and everything else all outside of the gate, and sadly you have to pick them up whenever you leave. So I always think that whenever you go in there, it's like you're in a different world, you're in a different universe, and you're just besotted by all the sights, the sounds, the smells. Not so much, you know, the people shoving in you with prams and buggies and things like that, but, you know, just hearing the music, seeing the parades, that kind of thing. It's totally magic, to pardon the pun, but it is. As soon as you go in and you step on properly, you're just besotted and want to stay there for a long, long time.
And for you, it's Disneyland Paris where you keep getting drawn back to.
Yes, it's our, you know, like obviously it's one that's closer to us. I mean, I would love to do Walt Disney World, but it's just, I don't deal well with the heat. I reflect the sun, as Lee Evans used to say.
Okay.
So it's a case of with Disneyland Paris, we're used to that kind of climate. You know, we've been there whenever it's been raining, but a rainy day at Disney is a better than rainy day anywhere else.
Exactly.
And but it's a case of with that there, it's closer to us. We can get the Eurostar. Fair enough. I used to love the direct Eurostar. So as soon as you got off, you were there rather than having to get a private transfer or another train to Disneyland Paris. But I just love the theming of it. The likes of Phantom Manor, the castle. Obviously, the castle is just, I never tire of that view. If you go to Disney and you look at that castle and go, there's something drastically wrong with you. The castle is just amazing, and just all the rides and everything, it's just brilliant. So it's more the proximity. My girlfriend lives in London, so all I have to do is fly over there and then we get the Eurostar across. So it only costs us like £100 each return to get to the Eurostar, which is brilliant.
I was going to say, because you say you get the Eurostar, I thought, have they built a new tunnel from Northern Ireland to Paris? I wasn't aware of that. But yeah,
I wish that would have made it a lot easier for me, but no, I just fly over to London and then we do it that way. So whenever we were planning to go again this year, then I looked at other things to do with another castle, and that worked out a little bit cheaper. So I said, well, how about we do this? And we decided to then go for that, which I'm very, very excited for.
You found somewhere that's going to work out cheaper than going to Paris.
Yeah, it's Disneyland California, which because I live in Northern Ireland, I have to fly over and then we have to stay in a hotel the night before. And the Premier Inns are not £45 like they used to be. So either end of, like, saying at King's Cross and saying at the airport was costing, say, £400 for two nights. So whenever you add that on and the Eurostar, you can then near enough get a return flight from Heathrow to LAX for the same amount. So it made more sense to do something new. I've never been to Galaxy's Edge. I've never been on Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway. So all this kind of stuff that I see on vlogs and hear about from like your podcast and stuff,
yeah,
I am extremely excited for, and just wish November would hurry up so I can get there.
You got a long way. But I can't believe when you put things down in paper and go, well, it's going to cost this to go to London and then this to go to Paris and Eurostar. You go, actually, we could just fly to California and it's cheaper. Whereabouts will you be staying? Will you stay at one of the Disney hotels or just outside?
I wish just outside. It's less than a mile. It's one of the Best Western ones. So I'm pretty stringent on looking at reviews and things like that. There is one that's closer to the park, but then there's not really good reviews to do with the staff and stuff. So we're staying in the Best Western Stovall's Inn, which is less than a mile walk to there, which is, takes about 10 minutes. I walk to work, which is like a 15-20 minute walk. So it'll be quite literally a breeze in the park to do that. But the food, the character meets, the rides, just everything is so different from Disneyland Paris. And it's just nice to do something new. Not that I'm saying I get tired of Disneyland Paris, but it's nice to have a break from something you love and then go back once you've done something else. So whenever the likes of World of Frozen opens up, that will probably be the next time we go, because I'm sure that will be something to behold.
And of course, as well as getting the Disneyland park, you've got California Adventure with Cars Land and things like that. So many new things.
Yeah, it's nice to then go and be at the castle that Walt Disney stood in front of, you know, and just have all that nostalgia feel, you know, that he just walked down here. You know, I know you can do like the Walt's apartment tour and then to go build a lightsaber in Galaxy's Edge, things like that. You know, I'm a huge Star Wars fan. I've been to Star Wars Celebration twice, so this is a number one bucket list item, you know, to walk down and see the Millennium Falcon for the first time, which I'll probably be a sobbing mess. So thankfully I'll have some on so people don't see that. But yeah, already the outfits are starting to get planned and Karen is buying her lounge fly to take with her and all that kind of stuff. So we're well ahead of the game. I think sometimes the planning is almost as exciting as doing the actual trip itself.
Oh, totally. Yeah. You can make a 2-week holiday or a 1-week holiday last a year when you start planning and looking forward to things and making restaurant reservations. And like you said, there's a lot of things that they've got there. They've actually got in Disney World, like you say, Galaxy's Edge, Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway, and then the Big Thunders and the Space Mountains. And Yeah, it's quite a good place to start, actually, rather than going to Disney World, going to Disneyland, California first.
Yeah.
So it's a real nice way of doing it.
I like the way he went first. And I was like, we do want to cross off the other one, you know, but it's because just with this one here, it's just like, obviously, there's not as much as an intense heat. Karen's been to both the parks before, but not as much as, I think she went with her brother, so he kind of just went and did this and that, whereas she's more of a Disney avid fan now than obviously back then whenever she was with her brother and what have you. But she's more the thrill seeker than I am, so she's looking forward to, like, Incredicoaster and that kind of thing. That's one of the ones that she says, oh, we need to do that. And I was like, yeah. So I said, you can't take any sequin lounge fly with you because I don't want to be standing there holding that. So just take a nicer bag. So she's got plenty to choose from, so she does.
Or you could be brave and go on the rides, Chris.
I could do, yeah, but nobody needs to see me throw up afterwards, so
oh no.
Yeah,
it's that bad, is it? Yeah, okay.
I would imagine so, yeah. Whenever I went, I seemed to have like PTSD from going on a little caterpillar one whenever I was a kid, and I remember screaming my lungs out. That just went up and down and I didn't like it, and ever since then I was like, nope, I'm not getting on a big roller coaster, thanks. You know, so
but are you still going to do all the Star Wars attractions? Are you going to fly the Millennium Falcon and
I'm still going to do all that. Yeah, yeah. As long as it's not one that goes really fast, you know, like Big Thunder Mountain, which I may go on. That'll be probably my limit, or maybe Casey Jr. I don't know. I'm still going on. We still go on all the rides together. You know, Phantom Manor in Disneyland Paris is one that I only went on a couple of years ago, and has far become one of my favorite attractions there. So I'm looking forward, because we're going in November, Haunted Mansion's going to have the Nightmare Before Christmas overlay, which is going to be good to see. And then hopefully It's a Small World will have the Christmas theme as well. I love the fact that they do that in the American parks, and Disneyland Paris should take note and do that over there as well, you know. So,
do that in Disney World as well.
Oh, yeah. But it's just nice that they do different things like that. And then meeting, obviously, we're going over the 70th anniversary. So to see the new Walt animatronic, and to meet the characters in their outfits and to see what kind of food they have, etc. So it's exciting to have something different and to look forward to the food, because Disneyland Paris, as much as it's a great park, it's not really that great for quick service food, whereas obviously the American parks have that down pat.
Yeah, I've got to say, of all the Disney parks that I've done so far, food-wise, Disneyland Paris is my least favourite for food.
Yeah, a couple of the sit-down ones, like Chez Remy is one of my favourite restaurants there, and Pim's Kitchen would probably be my favourite buffet there. But the likes of, say, Auberge de Sandrion would be one of my favourite character dining experiences, whereas over in California, there's not that many sit-down restaurants. It's all quick service, which I'm totally fine with, because it just means you don't have to go, oh, we have to go and do this reservation now. We could just go mobile order, go and get our food, and then sit down and eat it, which is a lot handier.
If you had to pick out one particular restaurant at Disneyland Paris that you'd say is your absolute favourite, you can only dine at one, which one would you go to?
That's a tough one. I'd have to say Bistro Chez Remy, because the theming in there is brilliant. You're shrunk down to the size of the rat. The food in there is great. It's the only restaurant I've been in where I've had the starter, main and dessert, which I've loved all. Normally it's a case of I've loved the starter, the main and the dessert, not so much. Whereas with that, the last time we went in November was the time I had that. I was like, so ever since then, it's been top tier. And a little tip, if you ever go to Chez Remy, ask the chef to sign a napkin for you. It's a nice little memento for you to take away, to take home with you. So every time we've went there, we've got that done as well.
I do always wish they'd had that restaurant in Walt Disney World at Epcot, because obviously they've got the Ratatouille attraction.
Yeah.
And then when you come out, that attraction is designed for you to come out at the restaurant, which you know, that you see the people sitting on the little wine corks. But you don't get it, you don't have it in Florida. It's a shame they couldn't have found some way to build a restaurant as well, because I think the restaurant is probably even better than the actual attraction itself.
it is very strange whenever you see people's vlogs in Walt Disney World and they come off and you just see the wall and you're like, oh, you expect to see through there and see people sitting down eating their steak or what have you. But yeah, it is very strange that they didn't find the room to do that. But Walt Disney World has enough, so it's nice that Disneyland Paris has something that Walt Disney World doesn't have.
And it is nice to have specific things in different parks. It's like, you know, Cars Land is brilliant. It's so far away. But would I want them to build it anywhere else? No, because then it's not as unique. You've got every park's got its unique attractions. What are your favourite attractions?
Phantom Manor would be high up there. I really do enjoy that ride. Pirates is one that has been, the more I go on it, the more I love it. I always like the fact that it's a short wait there as well. And I would probably say Web Adventure, although your arms ache after that. I always feel that I should do training a couple of months beforehand, so whenever I get there, it doesn't hurt as much, you know. But I don't really want to stand in my bedroom, you know, pretend to sling webs in case I forget to close the curtains. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you know, do not look like him in any way, shape, or form. The only thing I have in common is that we're both from the UK, but anyway. But yeah, they would be my top three. But Phantom Manor, I just love the Vincent Price narration of that, and I just think it's a really good attraction. It was down, sadly, whenever we went the last time, but it was opening the day before we left, or the day we were leaving. But the day before, they had opened it early, and I went on it whenever it was like a 5-minute wait. And even though they just opened it, it broke down twice while
Disney.
And it's just like, what have you done to fix this if it's broken down twice? I don't understand. But it's one that I really, really enjoy going on. I don't think there's many attractions that I don't, you know, that I think Peter Pan's one I never understand why it's always a 45-minute wait for. And Star Tours.
Every park.
Yeah, same. I know. Yeah. And Star Tours is one that
slow loader or something.
Yeah, Star Tours is one that I, with time, has just went, the more I go on it, the more I was just like, they really need to make that a bit smoother than what it is. But, you know, to each their own, I suppose.
And where do you usually stay when you go to Disneyland Paris?
We normally stay on site. So the first couple of times we went to Hotel Cheyenne. Then a time after that was Newport Bay. And the last couple of times has been the Art of Marvel Hotel New York, which is an outstanding hotel. It's so comfortable. It's, you know, close proximity to the parks as well. It is expensive, you know, so it's a case of, it's one of those ones that, you know, you really have to scrimp and save to do it. But whenever you're there, it's all worthwhile. The staff all there are amazing. The housekeeping, you know, every night I've never had. Whenever we checked in, we had somebody come, three different people come within the space of a couple of hours asking if we had everything we needed. And I've never, ever had that in any hotel. In fact, it's probably one of my favourite hotels I've ever stayed in my life. Oh, you know, I just really enjoy it. And the smell of the hotel is one of the only ones I've bought the candle for. And it's just, oh, it just smells divine. If even if you don't stay there, you can go in and have a look around, you know, dine in some of the restaurants, and they have a really nice bar, the Skyline Bar, which does some Marvel-themed cocktails. The last time we stayed there, there was a Deadpool Wolverine bar, which you had to put through Lineberry, and the drinks there, like, I don't drink alcohol, so I had one that had marshmallows around it, and then she burnt it to be like Deadpool's face, and then Karen had one to do with Wolverine. And she said, like, if you get black stuff on your fingers, I know you've not drank it properly. And Karen's being really, 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 you know, so gentle with the glass not to get this on her fingers. But that was a heck of an experience. And the drinks were expensive, but you're paying more for the experience than you are the drinks. And it was really well done. And I wish that they would do that more with newer Marvel movies, you know, let's say like with Captain America, Brave New World just being out, and, you know, theming it to that as well would be a good idea. But hey ho.
Yeah, I didn't know about the Wolverine Deadpool bar until the day I was coming home and somebody messaged me and went, have you been? Because it was still on in January. I went, I didn't know anything about it. I know everything about Disney World, nothing about Disneyland Paris, or not enough about Disneyland Paris. But next time we'll go back, because, of course, they've got a lot of celebrations. They've got the music festival this year, haven't they, at Disneyland Paris? Yep, you're not tempted to go and see that?
Oh, I would do, but pricing things up this time, you know, it's just like, well, we can miss one a parade. You know, we've been there. We were lucky enough to be there for the Dream and Shine Brighter, the 30th anniversary, which was brilliant, and the Million Splashes of Colour, which again was a very good parade. And I think that's one thing that Disneyland Paris does well is their parades. The music is ever so catchy. And, yes, you know, like the Million Splashes of Colour, I actually have as Karen's ringtone. So I still get that every day whenever she rings me. But the music is just so good. And just whenever they do certain themed things, and like Victoria's to do with the snacks is really good as well. But yeah, I did price it up to go back in June time. It's like, I'd rather save that grand and a half or whatever for going to California. So, we've been there. We were lucky enough to go there twice last year, which is the first time we've done that. We went in March and November, and March was one of our best trips because we met some people through Instagram there, and friendships have blossomed from there, which is one of the great things about Disney parks, is that if you meet people in the same time, and then, you know, friendships become of that. And that's one thing I'm forever grateful for in the Disney community, is making friends. And, you know, especially whenever you're in Disneyland Park, you can wear whatever you want and you don't get judged. In fact, people will come over and compliment you on what you're wearing. Karen had that with her ears and her jumper, and I had that with some of my Roosevelt shirts that I was wearing, that people would, you know, comment on it, which is really, really nice whenever you're actually lifted up instead of, you know, walking down the street and somebody's calling you names for what you're wearing, you know. So
exactly.
I love that in the Disney community, that everyone's so supportive of each other. And I think the world needs more of that, to be honest with you.
Totally. We need more Disney, more people at Disney. Where do you get your Roosevelt shirts from, by the way? Because it was a few years ago I first started seeing people in them in Disney World, but like now they've really caught on in the UK. Do you get them over here, or do you have to ship them in?
You have to ship them in, but unfortunately, you have to pay like some kind of, you know, tax on them. So whenever you see a shirt and it's, say, £52, by the time you add the taxes and shipping on, then brings it up to like £60, £72. So some people are very generous and give out free shipping codes, which saves you £10. They've just dropped some Toy Story ones, which I have looked at and have my eye on one or two, but probably just one, because I thought that would be perfect for Pixar Pier. So with that there, I think I've got like 19 of them at the last count. And before I go, that doesn't mean that all 19 are coming with me. You know, like, I'll have to be very selective on what ones I take.
Yeah, you're going to have a daytime costume change, at least, you know, three a day.
Because obviously I have my Galaxy's Edge one planned out, and the one from our first day planned out, because we want to do Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway as our first attraction, because that's one like both Karen and I have been busting to go on, and then do Galaxy's Edge the next day, where we'll be in full Star Wars attire, you know. So that's the way we're planning it. So I do have some ideas on what to wear and what to bring, and Karen is the same, as just planning everything out. And obviously we're bringing some hoodies and jumpers for the colder evenings, but I'm sure we'll still be warmer than the current climate here in the UK, where it says it's 5 degrees and feels like -2. So I'm sure it'll be like a summer's day out in California in November time.
It will. But not too hot for you, Chris, not too hot.
No, that's fine. That's fine.
Before you go, all-time favourite Disney parks memory. What is it?
Oh, that's a tough one. That's a really tough one. I would say that there's no better feeling than whenever you walk down Main Street for the first time and you see the castle. That memory of me will be forever ingrained. You know, whenever you get on properly and you just don't know what to expect. You've seen it in vlogs and, you know, you've heard podcasts about it, but until you're there and you feel, you hear the music play, you know, one of the times we walked in, there was that Married Life song from Up, which I think is more prevalent in Disney Park than it is in the movie. You know, I think whenever you hear that, you go to think of Up, but you go like, oh yeah, that's whenever you're walking around Main Street as well. So I'd say that, but the parades would be up there, as would the Lion King Festival. They would be my top three, seeing the Lion King Festival on our first, the Lion King Rhythms of the Pride Land, sorry, on our first trip was fantastic. I think I cried like three times out of just the performance, the music. It's so well done. And we hadn't seen it for like 5 years. So on our last trip in November, I was like, look, we need to go and see this again. And we did. And it was, I didn't cry as much. I still had a couple of wee tears in the eyes, you know. Yeah, I would say seeing the castle would be probably the overriding memory, is just that that's the thing you see whenever you go there, first of all. And it's just, it, you just know that you're there, you're in your safe space, and you're back where you wanted to be with the person that you love as well.
Oh, bless you, Chris. Well, you've got a new castle to see late this year and a new main street to walk down, the original ones.
Yes, exactly. And a new place to go in Batu as well. So I'll need to make sure my passport's up to date for that too.
Oh, yeah. And your Esther, make sure everything's all sorted.
Oh, yeah. That's all sorted as well. All sorted as well.
Lovely chatting to you, Chris. Have a magical day.
No worries. Thank you very much for that.
Thank you, Chris. If you would like to be a guest on the podcast, you can talk about Paris if you want, or Walt Disney World. We would love to get you on. Just give me a shout at PodMagical on all the socials. Going to be going to Florida soon. You've got the Flower and Garden Festival. That's already started at Epcot. Started last week. And a part of that, as well as the toperies and the food booths, you've got live music. It's mostly the weekends where they get the famous names. So the next few weekends of the Garden Rock Series at Epcot, you have got Blue October. Don't know who that is. Rick Springfield, Peter Noon of Herman's Hermits, who I saw last year. He was really good. He's one of those, because they you know, they just do the hits, don't they? Like 5-6 hits, like 20-25 minutes. Loads of great 60s tunes from Peter Noon of Herman's Hermits. So he's going to be at Epcot over the next couple of weeks. Universal, they've got their Mardi Gras that continues with the parade, the floats and the beans and beans? Beads. They don't throw beans at you. Beads. Live music they've got include Lawrence. I don't know who that is. Coco Jones. Again, don't know who that is. But at the end of the month, they have got TLC performing at Universal's Mardi Gras. SeaWorld have got a festival on as well at the minute. The Seven Seas Festival. Again, it's food, it's beer, and live music. In fact, this weekend, SeaWorld have got Jordan Sparks. That's Saturday night. And then Sunday night, ZZ Top will be performing at SeaWorld. It's St. Patrick's Day as well, of course, next week. So St. Patrick's weekend, this weekend. There's a lot of food, especially at Walt Disney World. They do some special items like cupcakes and things. Of course, Raglan Road at Disney Springs is where the big celebrations are for St. Patrick's Day. Spring break crowds are on us as well. So expect it to be busy for the next few weeks at Walt Disney World if you're going. And the weather's getting warmer. Temperatures starting to creep into, well, definitely the high 20s, even 30s on a few days. So the warm weather, the muggy, humid weather is on its way. Also, one more thing to let you know about is that the clocks went forward last weekend in America. Ours haven't yet for the next couple of weeks. So for the next few weeks, it's going to be a 4-hour time difference between the UK and America. Finally, let's end the podcast on a top tip. The top tip for this episode is have a post-parade plan, a PPP, a post-parade plan. So you're watching the parade at Magic Kingdom, and if you want to go from the parade to an attraction, it's going to get busy. Things do quieten down during parades and fireworks. So if you, say, want to go from the parade, you want to watch the parade, and then you want to go straight to Tiana's because, you know, there's no virtual queues there anymore. So basically what you do, you get in line with everybody else. So make sure you know where to stand for the attraction you want to do next. So if you want to watch the parade, stand, firstly, on the side of the road where Tiana's is, and then as soon as it's finished, so to avoid the surge, head straight to your attraction. So there you go, a post-parade plan. Same goes to the fireworks as well, especially if the park is staying open late at night. A lot of people will watch the fireworks and then they'll clear off home. But if you know what it's like in the hub at Magic Kingdom, at the end of the fireworks, there's people just pushing and shoving and going in any kind of direction. So make sure you're near a exit that will get you into the land where you want to go. Say you want to do Space Mountain, make sure you're standing at that side of the park so you can head off as soon as the fireworks finished, straight over to Tomorrowland. Have a plan. That's it for this episode.
At the time of recording this, I am just packing my bags to head to Hong Kong and China. In fact, as you're listening to this, maybe I will be there right now. Probably can't be posting anything from China, but I'll definitely be talking about it. So our next episode of this podcast will be a trip report from Hong Kong and then Shanghai. Yes, the Six Castles tour continues. So make sure you subscribe to the podcast, however you're listening, the Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Make sure you follow us on the socials as well. At PodMagical is where we are. Get in touch if you'd like to be on the podcast. If you've got any questions, do let me know. And until next time, please stand clear of the doors.